All right, Joshua, we're going to do one today. That's a kind of a favorite of ours at Uncommon. We're big on communication. Mm. We're content creators, so we're about communication. So do you and your wife communicate the same way?
It's a big resounding no.
No.
No. We learned that very quickly, especially in our dating years. My wife and I talk a very different kind of language. We got a problem. I want to talk about right here, right now. Let's fix that problem.
Yes.
Let's get it done. I don't want to have to worry about it. I figured out what angered you. Cool. I am sorry for that. Let's move forward. My wife does not do that.
Right.
In the beginning of our relationship, if she was angry with me in the very beginning of our dating, she would go ghost silent for about 3 days. Now, I'm talking about the very beginning of our relationship.
Right, right. Are you there still?
Right. And so that was a huge thing for me, because I was like, well, I'm over here pacing the walls going, well, what, I want to talk about it. But she wasn't wanting to talk about it right then. She had to kind of think about what she was feeling, what she wanted to say. But the biggest turning point was when we communicated that to each other.
Mm.
When I told her, hey, I don't like not talking about it when we have a problem. And expressing what that meant to me. And then she expressed, well, I don't want to talk about it because it's too fresh. I need time to digest my feelings and figure out what I want to say. And so...
Now, is it always like a three-day kind of processing timeline?
Or that was in the very beginning of our dating. Now, it's not that at all.
I got you. Okay.
But in the very beginning, it was very much because she wasn't quite sure how to express herself in the beginning and digest those feelings. Now, it's you know, pretty much instantaneous.
Like 30 seconds.
Yeah. not quite that quick. But having to – because it helped me understand, like, I need to maybe sit down and digest my feelings as well.
Mm.
And then she realized, well, I can't wait to talk about this. I need to figure out how to talk about it faster and quicker and figure out what I want to say.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, communication's on both sides. I mean, we talk about a little bit in, you know, a love languages conversation about having to speak the other person's language. Mm. And so realizing that the adjustment needed to be made on both sides really helped us grow closer with each other, because we figured out a better way to communicate that left nothing unsaid.
Mm.
And made it so that the other person wasn't angry, that the other person was quick enough,
right,
or you're talking to me too fast. I need more time to digest or whatever. So I think that's probably the biggest conversation that we've had about a communication that's helped us grow as a couple.
Well, you know, Mom has a hearing loss. Mm. And she wears two very powerful hearing aids that go behind her ear, because the ones that go in her ear are not powerful enough. So she's probably grown up missing, just say, 50% of what's said to her. That could be frustrating for her, but it is frustrating for her. And it can be frustrating for those around her. Her and I have been married 33 years, or 3-plus years, and dated 6 before that. So I am well aware of the performance of hearing aids.
Mm.
Or the lack thereof. But it caused her to communicate in certain ways, out of frustration. And then natural, you know, personality traits. And so we had to have a come to Jesus meeting a couple of times throughout our marriage of, okay, I will say something and then you may lash out because you think maybe I didn't hear that, or it's frustrating for me to hear, so I'm impatient about my response. And so that has been something that she's been working on for probably a couple of decades. And because she's been had this hearing loss since age about 4, it's never going to go away. It's just, I mean, hearing aids have gotten better over the decades, and she hears a lot more than what she used to. But there are days that, you know, it's like you take your glasses off at the end of the day, you're like, your eyes are tired, like, oh, man, I'm going to close my eyes a little bit. For her, she has to concentrate so hard to listen and hear, where whereas other people, it's kind of built in. We have built in filters of that TV in the background or that car passing. We filter it out if we're talking to someone. Everything is like the same level for her. And so combine that with, I would be the one, kind of like you, running ahead. Like, say if we had to send an email or I had to respond to someone on a call or whatever kind of thing, she would be, ironically, the person, what's going to wait a minute and think about that. And I'm like, great, you have 30 seconds. And then there's times when it's just the opposite. Like, she is a storm raging, and I'm the one like, okay, I know this is frustrating. What can we do to not match that other person's intensity of chaos? Mm-hmm. And that's challenging. And, you know, her love language is spending time. And I think she's always had an issue with money. She's never done without. I mean, she's not like, you know, a silver spoon in her mouth kind of thing, but she's never done without. I, on the other hand, spoon with spoon. Mm-hmm. So when we got married, we handled money differently. Ironically, we didn't have enough money to be loose with money, but she was very, very, very frugal, we might say. That's where you get it from.
Yeah.
And one day I went to a baseball game and local team back in New Orleans, and I bought a $15 hat. And I came home, and you'd have thought I bought a Harley Davidson. She was climbing the walls about that, and we had to have a Come of Jesus meeting right there. And that was the beginning of the change. It was kind of like how we speak to each other, how you speak to someone you love, right? It's always hurt the ones you love. Why is that? Because you feel that you can say something that, well, they're not going to go anywhere because they love me.
Right.
And so, you know, this is 30-plus years of marriage talking. We've had a couple of times we've had to sit down and talk through, okay, that's not appropriate conversation. That hurts. Why do you feel you can, you know, want to talk that way? Or whatever the thing is, on both sides.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important to be able to speak to your loved ones, even friends too, when that opportunity presents itself. So in your case, that may be an hour after something's happened.
Yeah.
They may take an hour, but it's on their face immediately, mm-hmm. you know, so you can see it. But making time to speak with each other with truth and grace,
yes,
is important, because most of the time we get prayer requests from people, it is around dysfunction of relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and so now how long have you been married now?
We just turned 3 years back in March.
3 years. Minus the COVID acceleration.
like dog years.
Right, right. Do you have people around you that you've seen maybe married a little bit more or even less? How do they handle communication? Do you see that from the outside in?
In some couples. Some couples, you can kind of tell communication from the outside, and some can be very, very close to the vest. There's in our life group at our church, there are plenty of couples that are above and below us in the marriage pool.
Yeah.
There's a couple that's been married for over a decade now. There's a couple that, you know, a handful of years and some kids, ones that just got married less than a year ago. And just seeing that from the outside, it galvanizes the idea that everyone communicates differently.
Oh, yes.
But I do think it's interesting to see how I have noticed couples that have gone through very similar stints that we have gone through and had the opportunity to kind of speak that kind of, you know, what we've gone through to them.
Right.
'Cause, you know, when you're in the moment and having these kind of conversations, it feels like the world is ending. Like, you're like, this is the biggest thing I will ever have to deal with.
Right.
And then you get over that hump and you realize that was nothing. We were complaining about the size of the fork in the dishwasher. Are you kidding me?
Right, right.
And so not all conversations like that, but I do find that looking back on these kind of fights or communications or, you know, intense fellowships.
Intense fellowship.
You find that not all the time are they as big as they felt in the moment.
Sure.
And so one thing we do on top of what we currently do is often pick times to have conversations. Because sometimes we want to have that conversation right then and right there. But if that person's highly emotional or going through something outside of that conversation, that time is not now.
And I dread those. I'd rather sit down and just out of the blue to sit down and say, hey, can we talk about, you know, this conversation? Sure, yeah, yeah. But when mom says, I need to talk to you about something. Mm. It's like, oh, boy, what did I do? What did I do? I cut the grass. I knew that.
Yeah.
It's funny you mention that because we have some friends, some dear friends that we go out to dinner with. And we almost show up with popcorn to watch the show. These two just start, and some people they use group settings as a way to work through and say things that they may not have said to each other.
With a little bit of audience?
A little bit of audience, because maybe they feel like, you know, they can't really say what they want to say right now kind of thing, and it'll blow over in the car or whatever, but, you know, it's kind of like, instead of saying in the car ride over to say, you know, I really think you're being a little lazy at home. You're not really doing chores. You don't work a full time job, and you come home and you just crash on the sofa. And I come home and I'm supposed to do everything. But when it gets to the restaurant, it's kind of said in a joking way, she's so lazy. She works 3 days a week, you know, 2 hours a day, you know. And that person just kind of tries to defend that, and she has her own thing. And it's funny to watch that. I'm a cleaner by nature, but it's funny to watch that to see, am I letting things go and only using a public format to discuss something that I should have a private conversation with my wife or a friend or whatever kind of thing? So that is, communication is, we write about it all the time.
Right.
I mean, we write about it all the time because how you speak with your spouse, your kids, your friends, your family, at holidays, and at funerals, weddings, every such situation breeds a different conversation. And, you know, and so it's interesting just to kind of go through that as a person. Maybe that's why the elderly people have just white hair, because they're just the stress of talking to people over the years.
Yeah, I mean, I want to impart that there is no silver bullet to this. I mean, every couple, every relationship, you know, romantic or non-romantic, will go through figuring out what communication style works.
Yeah.
But I think the important thing is to keep working at it and being upfront about what your expectations are, because it's very easy to be like, well, that person just said something that hurt me. They should know that they hurt me.
Right.
And they don't know that they've hurt you. And so this is bottled up, and you rage against the machine 2 months later. And be like, do you remember back January 1st when you took the pickles off my hamburger? Right. So I think it's very important to be very clear and concise and with grace, right? We talk about if you're going to be ugly about it, don't say it.
Sure.
As a great quote I heard a while back, this is the people who love being brutally honest often love the brutality of it more than the honesty. And so I think it's important for us, especially as Christians, to show love and grace when having these conversations, because we are called to be that.
Right.
And so being upfront, but with love, is very important.
Yeah. You've heard of the ugly American. What we have, definitely have ugly Christians that, oh, I can't wait to tell them how big of a sinner they are. That kind of thing, of instead of saying something like, well, I believe that to be kind of a sin, and I choose not to take part in that, or I used to do that, but the Lord convicted me of that because of this, this, this. You know, it's just different of how you handle stuff. And yeah, that's, again, just a different way of communicating. No two people do that the same. And it is amazing we're able to communicate with each other at all.
Right.
Which is probably why it's the number one issue we have out there. I mean, it's very difficult. So
it's a long journey.
It is. So I would recommend guys, husband and wives, fathers, husbands, leaders, MITs, spend some time praying over your words. Wisdom is my number one prayer. I always pray for. And work on your communication, because if you can get that down and be of God, I really think that you can help 99% of your relationships.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys. Well, with that being said, if you have any comments, please leave them below in the comment section, and we'll be in touch with our next podcast.